To kick off each hour of our pledge drive with prayer, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Atlanta to lead us in prayer.
This is Riley Gilmore
and Henry German,
eighth graders from St. Jude the Apostle Catholic School.
Our favorite things about St. Jude are band
and that we get to have a religious activity every Friday.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
O most holy apostle St. Jude,
faithful servant and friend of Jesus, the name of the traitor who delivered your beloved master into the hands of his enemies has caused you to be forgotten by many. But the Church honors and invokes you universally as the patron of hopeless cases, of things almost despaired of. Come to my assistance in this great need, that I may receive the consolation and help of heaven in all my necessities, tribulations, and sufferings, particularly, and that I may praise God with you and all the elect forever. I promise, O blessed St. Jude, to be ever mindful of this great favor, to always honor you as my special and powerful patron, and to gratefully encourage devotion to you. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to 1160 AM, The Quest.
Thank you, St. Jude the Apostle School. We appreciate that. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at AM 1160. This is the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. And before we get started, I got two ladies in here that I love working with them. And I'll introduce you in just a second. But first, I just want to mention, well, actually, why don't we say who is here? We've got okay. Jane Robbins. How are you doing this morning, Jane?
Hey, Dave. I'm fine.
Good, good. And then Patty DeCraney. Hi.
Hi, Dave. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi there. So we're excited. We've got the You Do the Legislation Made Simple show, which is only on during the legislation sessions when those are going on. But I first of all, before we get into all that, I got a bunch of people I want to thank here. First of all, let's thank Kimberly from Woodstock. She says this is in honor of all priests, seminarians, deacons, and religious in Atlanta. Also, Sherry and Tom, that's in honor of Father Neil and Carissa, who were here just last hour. David from Keensburg, New Jersey, thank you very much. Sandra from Woodstock, we've got Forrest and Christine in honor of Father Neil, who was here last hour. Also, Michelle from Powder Springs, that's in honor of Fathers Tim and Michael at St. Clair. Thank you very much. Also, Karen from Atlanta, that's in honor of you, Jane. And also in honor of you is Kimberly from Lawrenceville. We do appreciate that very much.
Thank you, Karen.
So we have, from what I understand, we've got $3,000 in matching money. Okay, so anything you give is going to be doubled up to $3,000. So we don't want to leave one penny of that on the table. And that's only available up until 6 o'clock, till 1 o'clock. I'm jumping ahead because we're done at 6. So. So we've got $180,000 total. That's what we're looking for totally. We're running behind on that. So we want to make sure we get those monthly donors in here. So make sure you're making the monthly donation. And I just also want to mention, too, that as a thank you for your donation, everybody, no matter what you donate, is going to receive a Magnificat magazine, one complimentary copy. And if you already subscribe, you can give it to somebody else, make a good gift. And also, as if that weren't enough incentive, every donor in the for the next 6 donors is going to get a gift card to Chicken Salad Chick.
Ooh.
Yeah, good stuff.
Which is really good. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
So, absolutely. So, anyway, without further ado, let me just give the... They say in Pledge Drive School, you can't give that number too many times. So let's do that. One more time, that phone number is 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. So now, why don't we get in with Jane and Patty, and we have a guest as well. Why don't you introduce the guest?
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. Gosh, this, I love the theme of this pledge drive, the quest for holiness. And it has been an amazing pledge drive. Just this morning, I was listening to Father Kevin Peake, who I love, and mm-hmm. his sister, who I've never met, and I'd love to meet someday, Elizabeth Arendale. And she was talking about how you determine your call from God. And this is all in line with the quest for holiness. And she said that to discern this call, it's really a crossroads between your passion and your gifts. And I was thinking about that, and I was affirmed to really my quest for holiness, what I determined to be the two areas that, really three areas, that make that crossroads work, my passions and my gifts. And the first one really is, and always has been, love of my family, to really love them. That's a passion of mine. And the other passions are like helping people, helping others, and making a difference in the world. So last year, I intentionally was thinking about how can I make the biggest difference? And I thought, wow, there's so many problems in the world. And I was catching myself helping over here and helping over there and doing this and doing that, and not doing anything really well. And I thought, okay, how can I make my world smaller and make a difference in that corner of my world? And I, besides loving, I stand on the sidewalk at an abortion clinic every week and pray and counsel women that are going in and trying to convince them to choose life. And as a matter of fact, next Wednesday begins the 40 Days for Life in this corner of the world. Well, I think it's actually maybe all over the world. 40 Days for Life starts September 27th, next Wednesday. And the other thing was, when I was asked to co-host Legislation Made Simple, I thought, whoa, that would be a great way to get the word out about what's happening in Georgia, right? The Georgia General Assembly, we're shining light on legislation and with a Catholic perspective. And where else can you find the truth? You know, when we're listening to the news and trying to figure out, you know, what's really going on, in with the quest, you can be guaranteed that you're going to be getting the truth. And so I thought, yes, I'm going to co-host with my brilliant partner, co-host Jane Robbins. She was the other reason why I said yes to it. But this does implicate the teachings of the Catholic Church. And I thought, okay, well, how's this going to make a difference? Well, we can educate, inform, and then we could actually affect policy. And this past legislative session was our debut. And I think, is this the newest show for the quest, the newest local show?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we just started January 23rd. So it's a debut for a lot of reasons, for Jane and I being in the radio world and for this program. And it was fast and furious, as it's only 40 days. And I thought, as I was thinking about what we were going to talk about today, 40 days for life, 40 days legislative session. You think there's a biblical implication, Jane? I don't know. I thought, whoa, because, you know, when we were in it, it was fast.
With a legislature, that it may be more 40 days of wandering in the wilderness, but I don't know.
Well, that happens too, right? Yeah. and what, you know what? We quickly discovered, because it was so quick, that not only do we need to present the bills and the path of the bills, but also, what is the Catholic perspective? Like, why are we for these bills and why are we against these bills? And so the guest today, who's a good friend of Jane's, and I'll let Jane introduce, is going to share the Catholic perspective for us.
Yes, Patty, thank you. I want to introduce a very dear friend of mine whose name is Emmett McGroarty. Emmett is in the Washington, D.C. area, and I had the honor of working with him for about 9 years for a group called the American Principles Project in D.C., and we worked a lot on public policy issues, primarily in the area of education and religious liberty, parental rights, that sort of thing. Emmett taught me everything that I know about how to analyze public issues, how to address them, what's the best way to go about it, how do you influence people who are the decision makers. He really is an extraordinary analyst of these issues, and he comes at it from a deep Catholic faith. So everything he does is imbued with his Catholic faith. Emmett, after leaving APP, he went to Catholic University of America for a while, where he was the director of the program on the Constitution and Catholic social doctrine. And now he's got a new gig. He's the executive director of the Belmont House on Capitol Hill, which is an endeavor of Belmont Abbey College. And he's also a faculty fellow there. And he and his wife, Mairead, and their two children are parishioners at Our Lady of Lourdes in Bethesda, Maryland. So Emmett joins us by phone today. He was very generous with his time. And so, Emmett, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Welcome.
Well, thank you, Jane and Patty. It really is an honor to be on the Quest. And, you know, I really have to say that your listeners must be excited, because these are pivotal times in the building of the body of Christ. And it seems to me they're fighting the good fight. This is the whole ball of wax that we're facing. And one or two voices make a difference. So all of your listeners together must be making a really profound difference.
Well, we hope so. One thing that we try to do with our show, which is on January through March, is to focus on issues, on specific bills that are coming up in the legislature and what's going on and what's likely to happen and all the ins and outs of it and the backroom deals and all of that, which Emmett knows a lot about. And so we're going to dive into some of the things that we talked about this past year and that we expect to be talked about in the legislature this coming year.
And before we do that, can I just jump in here?
Absolutely.
I just want to mention that this is the Quest for Holiness pledge drive here on AM 1160, The Quest. And we have matching funds available up until 1 o'clock today. Okay, so $3,000 is on the table. And we're mainly looking for those monthly donors, because that's how we can really help our pledge. If you pledge, I mean, it really helps us to budget. So if you could do that, we would appreciate it, or even a one-time donate, whatever you can do, but it will be matched up to $3,000. So make sure you're calling in at 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. And we are looking for 10 monthly donors per hour to reach our goal. Okay, we want to reach 100 for the whole pledge drive, so we need 10 monthly donors this hour of any amount. Whatever you can spare, that would be great. And we have 60 monthly donors currently for the entire pledge drive, so that means we need 40 more. Mm-hmm. So let's get those monthly donations coming in. And also, we have chicken salad chick gift cards for the next few donors as well. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. And real quick, as long as we're stopped down here, I just want to mention that Karen in Atlanta, she donated in honor of you, Jane. And also Kimberly in Lawrenceville, in honor of Jane. So thank you both very, very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Emmett, as we discussed, one of the issues that has come up in the legislature that came last year and will come back again this year is with the issue of the transgender phenomenon that is going on. And there was a bill passed last year that we covered a lot in our show that would prohibit giving puberty blockers to children who are trans-identifying. And the bill, unfortunately, didn't come out as well as we had hoped that it would. The bill allows the puberty blockers. This is what went into law. It allows puberty blockers. It does prohibit hormones and surgeries for minors. But one of the advocates of this bill said, well, this is a good compromise. So, but Emmett, thinking in terms of this whole denial of reality and denial of the plan for male and female, How should we think about this? What kinds of things can we say about this idea that people can choose their own sex and they can remake themselves in their own image? What would you tell us about that?
Well, several things. You know, number one, I think there's a tendency to think that this is a what's called a sort of a small issue that just really affects a small number of people, but really the consequences of it are much more severe, and it's something that really threatens all of Western civilization, the church and the republic. On the specific issue, we know John Paul II argued that the human body expresses the person. There's a unity of body and mind, and the sex of the person is expressed in the biology of the person, and that leads to another matter that really I think is perhaps the overarching phenomenon of the work that you all are engaged down there, Jane, and that's sort of the scientism or progressivism that has plagued modernity, and this was one of John Paul's, this is really at the center of his teaching. He internalized that the problem of modernity is a problem in the understanding of the human person. And that kind of explains the pathologies of the 1800s, 1900s, and now this century. And it explains how we lapsed as society into these great evils, and this great disorder. So at the heart of it is a rejection of the idea of truth, of absolute truth, and it's the rejection of the idea of reality, and substituted with this perverse scientism that man can control the environment, and then that I think is sort of there's a Texas two-step going on here. This idea that man can control everything, man can define truth, is twinned with the elitists with the idea that most people are not creative. They want us to be lemmings, right? That they ascribe the idea of creativity, which God gave to us, that's the centrality of our existence, is this creativity, this freedom that God gave us, whereby we're sharing in his divine plan, and that's how we're called to be like him. So the idea is that these elites, these experts, will control our lives, and so they it's not just individuals defining their lives or defining reality. What they really want is the elite to dictate to people how they should think and what they should believe in. And to do that, the way they do that is through sort of conflict theory. They want to pit each other against us. So you look at those dynamics, it's the reverse of what Jesus gave us. We're not building the body of Christ. We're creating divisions. And the first way you do it is by saying there is no truth. If there's no truth, there's no basis for us to interact with each other.
That's right.
Or they might say that this is my truth, mm-hmm. You know, the relativism. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned, Emmett, that this is a small thing. There's not that many people, but it appears that there are a lot of people. It really wasn't even on the radar probably 5 years ago on the radar of all psychologists, mental health counselors, doctors, etc. But now they all have to be attuned to what they're supposed to say, what they can't say. So it is truly a phenomenon. And there's pretty much everybody now knows somebody who's deciding that they're in the wrong body. What do we say?
Well, I think, Jane, you wrote an article on that right about a year or two ago on this growing epidemic of that. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes.
And I think this is the damage done by this insult on the integrity of the human person. This is that the result of this tyranny of the majority, and so the way they operate is to create a groupthink. And so now there's this groupthink about this, and it leads to the formation of fads. It's something that preys on vulnerable people. Whatever fads always prey on vulnerable people. So I think that's what's going on, and it's something that threatens the republic, and it threatens the church. I mean, this interferes with the way that the church operates in the world, and it interferes with the idea of the republic. And the idea of the republic is really akin to the idea of building the body of Christ. The idea of the republic rests on the idea of sovereignty being found, at least on an earthly basis, in the human person. And the need for human persons to work together to build their local environment and contribute to the national environment.
I don't think that it's any coincidence that this sort of your truth, my truth, I can do whatever I want to. It's my body. I can do this. I can do that. I can change it. I can become something else. Coincides with the secularization of our culture, that the church, that Christian religion more broadly, it seems to have less influence in individual families for whatever reasons, and we could talk for hours about that. But as there is a retreat of religious faith, then you have the increasing secularization where people are saying, well, why not do it? If I can do this, or if I can make myself into something that I'm really not, but if that's what I want, then what's the problem with it? But I wanted to mention also, and by the way, on that bill that was passed last year, which still allows puberty blockers being given to vulnerable children, we expect this year that there will be a movement to beef up that bill so that it would get rid of that puberty blocker exception. So before we go on to something else, Dave, did you want to
I'm going to jump in, and we're going to take a little break here. But before we do, I just want to remind everybody that we're talking with Patty DeCraney and Jane Robbins with our guest Emmett McGroarty. And the topic is Catholic Perspective on Legislation. Now, Jane and Patty host the show Legislation Made Simple, which is January, February, March, when the legislative session is going on here in Georgia. And we've talked about your show actually several times during this pledge drive, because it's some of the local programming that we're doing here at the Quest that you're not going to get this anywhere else. That, you know, this is from a Catholic perspective. I mean, I know we talked on the last season of our show was, you know, I mean, it was what we're talking about today with the puberty blockers and the, right. all that stuff. But, I mean, we talked about sports gambling and gambling in general and legalized gambling and I'm trying to think of all the other things we talked about. but I mean, it was all the things that the legislation is doing that, you know, some laws that don't have Christians in mind. They don't have us in mind when they're passing these laws. And a lot of times it's all about the money and, well, probably all the time, I suppose. Yeah. But so if you want to be educated on what's going on in the legislation while they're in session, this is the show that's going to tell you things that you're not going to hear on the local newscast. So if that's the kind of thing you like to support, if you want to see this going on, the Quest needs your support. And that's why we're doing this pledge drive, the Quest for Holiness pledge drive here on AM 1160, The Quest. The number you can call to donate is 470-508-1160. We are looking especially for those monthly donors. Okay, we have 60 so far. We're looking for 40 more before this thing ends at 6 o'clock tonight. So if a monthly donation of any kind is what we're looking for. Okay, 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. We're going to take just a quick break. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Quest for Holiness Fall Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. If you're moved to make a pledge, please call 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations and pledges from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Quest for Holiness pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's V-E-R-Sprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
If you want to know what's going on at parishes and other events in the Atlanta Archdiocese, just go to the events calendar at thequestatlanta.com. You'll find events like these.
A Fatherhood Mentoring Class is a series of classes from the Pregnancy Aid Clinic that happens each Wednesday. It offers support and learning opportunities for fathers-to-be. It's an online class.
Christ Our Hope is expanding their outreach with a kickoff event leading up to their 40th anniversary as a parish. The Legacy of Hope Gala is Saturday, September 23rd, with keynote presenter Archbishop Hartmeyer.
The Respect Life Ministry of St. Bridget Catholic Church is having a Respect Life dinner and a movie night Saturday, September 30th. There will be a catered dinner and the movie Life Mark, a true adoption story of love and life.
For more information on these and other events, click Events at thequestatlanta.com or click Contact to get your event added to the Quest event calendar.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Olympic gold medalist Dominique Dawes was part of the 1996 squad that won the first U.S. women's team gold in gymnastics. In an interview with Catholic News Agency, Dawes recalled a moment of doubt at the start of the games when she became overwhelmed by the pressure. It was then that her team captain, Amanda Borden, knelt beside her and together they prayed, asking God to watch over them. Recalling that moment, Dawes said, "It was good to have that reminder that I'm not alone, because God is the one that is going to strengthen me. I remember when I stood up after that prayer with Amanda, I felt free, I felt light, and we went out, marched out together, and we all made history." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
During September, the Quest is highlighting the corporal works of mercy.
Matthew 25, verse 40.
Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me.
Bury the dead.
Funerals let us show our respect for life and give comfort to those in mourning. See if your parish needs help at funeral masses, either in hospitality or food preparation. Or simply visit the cemetery and pray for those you have lost. Listen for other corporal works of mercy on AM 1160, The Quest.
The Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We have a little over 20 minutes left for the matching funds, up to $3,000 in matching funds this hour, but it's only going to last for like another 20 minutes or so. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. And we're really looking for those monthly donors. If you could be a monthly donor, that is so appreciated. We're hoping to get 10 per hour, and we are short of that this hour. I'll count them up in a little bit here. But a few people I want to thank is John from Sandy Springs. Thank you so much. Also, Robert in Mesa, Arizona, in honor of Jane. Thank you.
And thank you, Robert.
Yes. Dan from Atlanta, in honor of Patty.
Thank you, Dan.
And also, we have an anonymous person from Sandy Springs in honor of Patty and Mari, Mari Cleveland, who's on Wednesdays on the Family Room. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anonymous.
Yes.
So we are talking with the Legislation Made Simple people. That's Jane and Patty. We have Emmett McGroarty on the line as well. And we're talking about the local show that you're only going to get on The Quest, and it's only made possible because of The Quest. And so I'll toss it back over to you, Jane.
Okay. Emmett, you had mentioned something earlier about the attitude in the country that elites, who are, of course, a lot smarter than we all are, will make the decisions to run our lives, which leads me into thinking about the education bills, the education system in the country, in our state. There's a bill coming up in Georgia that is being held over from last session, so it will come up this session. It supposedly is a parental rights bill, but it's worded very poorly, and we have taken positions, or the people who are working down there have taken the position that it's worse than no bill at all. It's really limits parental rights rather than expands them. But speaking of parental rights in education, why is it important from a Catholic worldview for a parent to really monitor what is going on with the child's education, especially if that child is in public school?
Well, there's the sort of the theological and philosophical reason, which is, as the Vatican has said, the parents are the principal and primary educator of their children. So this is it's a primary duty of parents to form their children, to evangelize their children. And on a more practical level, the state has the children for 6 to 8 hours a day plus homework, and the child the children are a captive audience at that point. And so all of that is everything that they're taught has to be scrutinized to make sure it's not undermining a God-centered view of reality or even undermining the Republic in the idea of the sovereignty, government power coming from the person and simply being lent to government to be used in trust. And getting into more particulars, it's very, very serious what's going on. Jane, as you know, it's not just matters of things like sex ed that are pernicious. What is happening is that the government schools over the last 100 years or so, they've been cutting back on the studies that really transmit our culture and that bind us together as people. And those are transmitted primarily through the study of literature. And literature, as you know, Jane, literature is really a contemplation or a study of the human person. So Pope Pius XI talked about this in his encyclical on Christian education or the divine teacher. He talked about the threat of diminishing study of literature, but it's not just that. It's history. It's presenting the correct and true narratives of history. History, for example, is now being perverted. It's instead of passing on what happened and passing on an appreciation for decisions made, both good and bad, and an understanding the great triumphs of civilization as well as the great failures. History is now being presented as being animated by conflict, and this is Marxism, of course, and so the idea that history moves forward by conflict, and this feeds into again this idea of creating conflict amongst the people, the exact opposite of what we're called to do as a church, and really the exact opposite of really our founding as a country.
Emmett, you said something one time years ago, and it struck me, and I've always remembered it. If you could repeat it here, you were talking about how even subjects that are not literary or historical or whatever could advance the appropriate worldview, and you were talking about math, why it's important, why math classes are important to teaching children the accurate biblical worldview. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, sure. You know, what's happening in math is that the teaching on the standard algorithm is being diminished and being replaced with fuzzy math or constructive math. And so the standard algorithm is the best, most rational way to solve a particular type of problem that works every time. And what math does, especially when studied from the standpoint of the standard algorithm, the traditional way in which it's taught, is math is the first academic subject whereby children study absolutes. They gain an appreciation that there are absolutes. And this has tremendous consequences. I think it encourages children to participate in that great activity that has gone on for all of history, which is man seeking the divine. And it fosters an appreciation for things that flow from that, the idea of truth and the idea of natural rights, the idea of right and wrong. And so with the fuzzy math, they'll go away from the standard algorithm and even from the idea that there are right answers and wrong answers. And we'll do things like like say, well, there's more than one way to solve a problem, and there's more than one right answer. So I think that's a very, very pernicious trend. Plus, it makes math a miserable experience
for the kid and for the parents trying to help them.
Yeah,
at home,
engaging in an irrational activity.
Right.
I can attest to that. I know.
Dave has kids in school.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to jump in here and say that you're listening to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive here on AM 1160, The Quest. And we are hoping to get $180,000 just to keep the expenses, you know, it's the expenses of everyday broadcasting that we have to cover. And that's what we need to make this happen. If you're liking this, what you're listening to, Legislation Made Simple, they're going to start up again in January. So 3 months during the legislative session that's going on in Georgia. If you want to support that, make sure that you're donating. Okay. And in fact, for the next donor, we've got one left, one chicken salad chick gift card. So if you want to get that, make sure you're donating. Whether that's a monthly or one time, that doesn't matter. But we're really hoping for those monthly donations. We're hoping for 10 per hour. Okay, 10 monthly donations per hour. If you can swing that and you just put your credit card in there and you forget about it. You set it and forget it. That's a good... How about that? So, but honestly, I mean, it's like it's no different than your Hulu or your Netflix or anything else. That money just comes out every month, and then you get to enjoy the Quest and programs like Legislation Made Simple and The Family Room and Honest to God, all these local shows that exist only because of the Quest. So I'll give you that number right now. It's 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160. You can do it on the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. And if you want to, like I say, we're looking for the 10 monthly donors per hour. So make sure you're calling in with that. Carrie from Loganville, thank you very much. Patricia from Bishop, in honor of Jane and Patty.
Thank you. That's my sister. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Pat.
And also Mary Ann from Dunwoody. We appreciate that very much.
Thanks, Mary Ann.
Go ahead.
Okay. Emmett, let's touch base just for a minute on the issue that everybody knows about in the schools, which is the sexualization of children and sex ed and school culture battles and this sort of thing and pornography in school libraries. What's happening here? This is not something that we dealt with when our kids were in school. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I call it stage two in the assault on the family and on the formation of our children. Stage one is, in the first instance, to distance adults and parents from shaping their local environment, and that's, you know, taking local power away, taking neighborhood power away, and that, I think, has the effect of diminishing parents in the eyes of their children before they even get to school. Then they get to school, and then the sex ed regimen is foisted upon them, and this I think if your listeners if they look at the sex ed programs, it becomes clear what the progressives are trying to do. They're trying to put issues, really very, very personal, important issues before the children, expose the children to them before their parents would naturally discuss those issues with their children. So before we even talk about the content, the idea here is to put these issues before the children and implicitly say, look, here's a very, very important personal subject. And you really haven't heard about this yet, and that implicitly denigrates the parents and the parents' agents, which is the church, and it elevates the state in the minds of the children. And So this is a disorder on multiple levels. First of all, turning the child toward the state and making their parents seem like nothing more than child minders or nannies.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's this attempt to separate the parents from the children and to denigrate the authority of the parents in the eyes of the children. Patty wanted to ask you something about school choice.
Yeah, how important is school choice?
Well, it's a very, very, very important issue because we have to get our children back back oriented toward the parent, the family, and their agents, the church. And it's very difficult to do that when the government has the children 6 to 8 hours a day, plus homework and activities and all that. We have to be very, very careful with school choice because this is the way that the administrative state has expanded. It gives a benefit. And sometimes it'll give that benefit and it's just a pure benefit and the state isn't asking anything in return. Mm-hmm. But it's intoxicating and once the regimen is in place, then they start attaching strengths.
Oh, so they start out with the intoxicating, there's no strings attached.
Yeah, and they can add it at any time. You can have the best legislators and governors in the world and the best school administrators, but what will you have 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years down the road? And so it's something that people have to be very, very careful about. The less control the government has, the better. I think it has to be twinned with a return to local education, local control, true local control, where the parents have a true voice in what's going on. That doesn't cure everything, but it at least provides an additional safeguard.
And especially in that with this way that you structure the school choice plan, some plans are better than others. Like I think, you know, the education savings accounts, which allow parents to keep their own money rather than sending it to the government and the government sends it back. You know, that's a less concerning, less easily manipulated structure than some of the others. But I think people do need to realize that, yes, school choice it could be a lifeline for so many people, but it has to be done correctly. But I wanted to ask you something else, which I forgot to ask you about. I was going to ask you at the beginning. What are you doing for Belmont Abbey College? And tell our listeners what you told me yesterday about Belmont Abbey, which was really interesting, and I didn't know it.
Well, look, so Belmont Abbey College, it's the only Catholic school from the banks of the Potomac or from Northern Virginia all the way down to Florida, which is an interesting fact. I hadn't realized that before I started working for Belmont. But Belmont is on the Newman list of authentically Catholic schools. It has record increase in enrollment. So our enrollment went up even during COVID. We never shut down during COVID.
Hallelujah.
And Belmont was the first Catholic institution to sue on the Obamacare's abortion mandates. So Belmont, I'd say it's a great place, not just to go to school, but there's a wonderful Catholic community there. We've built 6 new buildings and major facilities in the last 4 years. And then the faculty have come together and they launched this year a classical liberal high school, Drexel High School, which they got it off the ground in about 8 months. it is at capacity for next year.
Wonderful.
So there's a wonderful, wonderful Catholic community forming down there, to the point now that people are retiring down to Belmont just for the Catholic community. So it's a great place. I urge you all to check it out.
Yeah, for all of the parents out there who have kids maybe in high school or going into high school and looking for a college that will give them a genuine education and not ruin them, take a look at Belmont.
Well, let me jump in here because we're just about ready to wrap up this hour. And I want to thank Patty and Jane for being in here, and also Emmett McCrory for being our guest this past hour. We thank you very much being volunteers to do this, because you see the importance in Catholic radio and the importance of bringing you shows like Legislation Made Simple and some other people that see that importance too. Catherine from Alpharetta, she donated in honor of you, Patty.
Thank you, Catherine.
And also Susan, we thank you very much. And we are going to wrap this up here pretty soon. I just want to mention, we're going to take like a 2-hour break. We'll be back at 3:00. We have Dr. David Anders, who you hear from Called to Communion. He's going to be on at 4:00 today. Also, we're going to have at 3:00, we're going to be talking to some people about Catholics adopt and how to adopt Catholic. That's, you know, goes right along with our pro-life message, which you do hear some people say, oh, you know, you're not pro-life, you're pro-birth. Once a kid is born, you don't care. No, we do. And these people are going to show that like how to adopt and everything. And that's great. And then we've got Father Henry Atem from St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Lawrenceville. He's going to be on in the final hour at 5:00. So we got a lot of great things coming up. Just remember that phone number is 470-508-1160. We have matching funds for like less than a minute. You got like less than a minute to get in here and take advantage to get your pledge doubled.